It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Today on the front porch, we're going to sit down and visit with Bob Davis. Actually, we sat down and visited with Bob Davis. This past week, we had a Kansas Association of Broadcasters sports seminar. It's held annually at Kauffman Stadium for the ball game. Actually, the seminar itself was held in Arrowhead Stadium, so it was a lot of fun to get a tour of Arrowhead and then go see the Royals win on a Tuesday evening. But there was some talk about the Royals broadcasters over the years, and Bob Davis, his name came up. Some stories started to float around a little bit, and it made me think of the time. It's been around 4 years ago that we sat down and visited with Bob, and he's very entertaining in person and certainly was as we visited on the front porch. So without further ado, I wanted to hear it again, so I thought maybe you would enjoy hearing a visit from 4 years ago with the legendary broadcaster Bob Davis. Today on the front porch, we get a chance to sit and visit with a legend in the broadcasting field, a Hod Humiston Award winner, a Fort Hays State Hall of Famer, 13-time Sportscaster of the Year, Kansas Association of Broadcasters Hall of Famer, Bob Davis, our guest today on the front porch. Bob Davis, of course, with the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks for 30-some years, and then with the Kansas City Royals for 16, I think, seasons. And before we get into all of that, we add to all the accolades we read about you coming on the front porch. Now we add author to that story, a new book that is out. Talk a little bit about that before we kind of dig into your career a bit. The Dream is Real. The story of Bob Davis.
Jeff Bullig, a longtime friend, did the heavy lifting. He was trying to talk me into doing this for a while. And Jeff grew up in Hayes and then went to KU, so I've known him a long time. And, just kind of follows us getting into broadcasting and working in Hayes 16 years and then coming to Lawrence and the Kansas City market for the rest of the alleged career. You know, it's not what you call brain surgery. It's just the fun thing a lot of us wanted to do growing up, and that's where we are now in retirement mode. But it's been an interesting run, and we've done some national championships and things like that and met a lot of interesting people along the way.
I can imagine the stories that will be shared in the new book that is coming out, The Dream is Real. Bob Davis, our guest on the front porch, let's start a little bit back where it really began. I know the story is you grew up watching Mickey Mantle play baseball in Kansas.
Say that again, Rocky. I couldn't quite hear you.
Sure. I know that the story goes you grew up watching Mickey Mantle actually play in Kansas, and that really turned you on to sports.
That was in the late 40s. Mickey was a 17-year-old professional rookie playing for Class D Independence, Kansas, Independence Yankees. He was one of several future major league players that came through Independence. Of course, obviously, he was the biggest name. Bill Verdon was also there the next year, who became a major league all-star. But that's where it started. I got used to going to ball games early. My father worked for the newspaper. He was sports editor. I watched him cover junior college and high school sports, football and basketball. So it was an early start into coverage of sports, and I kind of liked the idea, to tell you the truth.
Who was the go-to for you and when you listened to radio and listened to sports? I know baseball, that's the way still today, but at the time that you're growing up, there really weren't other avenues to see much of sports going on.
Well, we didn't have television at that time, certainly, and didn't until the mid-50s as a youngster. But, the Mutual Radio Network did a mutual game of the day in the summertime, Major League Baseball broadcast. And of course, the Kansas City A's came to our part of the country in the mid-50s, so we had the A's to cover, and many stations carried the Cardinals. But, of course, we had intercollegiate sports with KU and K-State and others. But it was all radio then, for the most part. Not a lot of people had televisions.
I know a lot of people ask me where I
did my training to do sports play-by-play, and I tell him it was in my front yard, to be honest, playing basketball right. by myself or wiffle ball or whatever the case may be. Same for you?
Oh, pretty much, yeah, you bet. Just or with ball cards, spread them out on the floor, have a lineup and go through it. But we moved to Manhattan in the mid-50s, and then I, you know, kind of started following Kansas State and KU and the big, at the time, the Big Seven. So, you know, I just grew up around it, I guess you'd say. And I thought, I had a cousin who was a few years older who got into broadcasting and was a top 40 disc jockey. And I told him as a young kid, teenager, that I wanted to be in broadcasting and I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And he told me in pretty much no uncertain terms that I was climbing on a dead horse. But that's how it worked out. And with a couple of breaks, I got to get into the business. And then locating in Hayes to start it all back in the late 60s, I fell into the job of being the sportscaster at the station.
And you left law school to pursue broadcasting, correct?
Well, that's really what I wanted to do. My dad, bless his heart, he wanted me to go to law school, and I did go for a year. And those days, you had draft deferments if you were in college or graduate work. And so I had to satisfy that. When I came back, I told Dad, I want to try this broadcasting thing and see if I really do like it. Well, I did, and I did. So that's how that started.
So you get to Hayes, and I know you sent several letters out and worked on interviews and landed this job back in your hometown that you were growing up in. Talk about the initial broadcasts. I can remember my first one still today, and I've been in it for 30-some years. Was there a great comfort level? Were you nervous as all get out?
Well, probably, but I don't remember being nervous. I kind of knew how I wanted to do it. It was an American Legion State Tournament baseball game. We were Hayes was hosting the Kansas State Tournament at that time, and our sports director, who was really good, got called out of town because of a family funeral, and the station was and we looked around. No one at the station had ever broadcast a baseball game before, but I, in total ignorance, said, I think I can do that, and that's where it started.
That's great. You called TMP, you called Hayes High, you called Fort Hays State University, and really got your feet wet and made a name for yourself in that region and across the state. When did the opportunity to become the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks come to you, and how did that happen?
Well, it was in the late 60s that the job was open, and I applied for it, as did other people. And I had done some communications in Jefferson City, had the rights to the KU games, and they had used me to fill in on some Missouri broadcasts prior to that. And they checked to see about my interest in the KU job, and certainly I had some. And fortunate for me, I got the job, and that's where it really started.
Yeah, for sure, and we know that voice as we listen to Bob Davis here on the front porch so well. Talk about some of the, this is unfair to ask, I think, there's two national championships that have to be high on the favorites of moments in Kansas. You're broadcasting with the Kansas Jayhawks. Are there people, things, I know we'll read about it in the book, but maybe you can tease that people will find stories from your work with KU?
Oh, sure, covered a lot of great players, headed up by Danny Manning, certainly a player of the year, and an All-American. But I got to work very closely with three Hall of Fame basketball coaches, Larry Brown and Bill Self now, most recently, and then, of course, Roy Williams. So that was part of it, being around those guys and kind of riding the train as they won conference championships and, in a couple of cases, national championships.
Yeah, Danny and the Miracles in 88, of course, Mario Chalmers in 2008 with the national championship, and a lot of runs in between and amongst all that as well.
Oh.
What is it like sitting next to Max Falkenstein and Allen Fieldhouse in a Big 8 or Big 12 game that is of importance, which they all were for Kansas during your broadcast career? Give us a feeling of what it's like on game day.
Well, it's just exciting, you know. You same as doing a high school game. You do the same preparation and get ready to do the game, follow up on your stats and all that stuff. But it was just a natural feeling because it was where I felt like I was headed all along, and it really was fun. But my dad used to say the hours aren't good, but there's lots of them. There was lots of travel and things like that. But it was great. I can't imagine at this stage doing anything else.
I mentioned the name Max Falkenstein. What a mm-hmm. legend in Kansas and broadcasting history. Speak about the relationship with Max and the kind of man he was.
Well, Max has been a fixture in KU and K-State broadcast for many years. Like Max's dad, Earl Falkenstein, had been the business KU athletic department, which meant he did the job of about 15 people today, you know, ticket sales, marketing, all that kind of stuff. But so Max grew up in the athletic department, and he got into radio when he graduated from KU and came back from the war. He did that, and they put us together. Max had never done, quote-unquote, been an analyst before, mm-hmm. but we worked at it, and I think made it saleable. Max was a great guy, great character. We had a lot of fun, and we were together for that one national championship in '88, of course, and he was. We were together. I don't know how many years, close to 30, I think. But he was a fixture, and everybody knew Max. Everybody connected with KU or K State, for that matter. When he was at mm-hmm. WREN, there were no exclusivity in terms of broadcast rights in those days. So you could just do the games with permission. And so he did as many K-State games as he could get to, you know, in the early 50s. He did their 1952 Final Four team, although they called it the National Semifinals then. But we did that, and he knew all those people. And so I think we made it work pretty well. People liked it. We had a large network and a lot of highlights, a lot of great trips.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. As your dad said, there's what was the hours line? The hours are
the
bad,
hours
but
aren't great, but there's lots of them.
I wanted to speak to that a little bit because the travel for you guys early on to later had to have changed, but you guys spent a lot of road time together, a lot of time in hotels, kind of getting prepped, and I think some people lose sight of the work that goes into being the broadcaster of a major college sport, and kind of speak to that a little bit.
Well, yeah, the preparation time is really important, obviously, because you don't just walk in and do the game. You have to, quote-unquote, prepare for it, and we tried to do that and do it the right way, and that was part of the fun, actually, in the travel. You know, we went everywhere from New York to South Florida to Hawaii to Alaska doing ball games, and we have a lot of memories, some of which are in this little book.
That little book is still available, and again, this is from a few years back when we visited with Bob Davis, and a chance to share it with you again today. Stick around. We'll continue on the Front Porch in just a little bit. We continue our conversation with Bob Davis, a legendary broadcaster. This was recorded about 4 years ago. Again, we were talking earlier that we were at a sports seminar from the Kansas Association of Broadcasters this week, and Bob Davis's name came up, and it made me think of this conversation that we had. And so I share it again with you.
Yeah, the book is called The Dream is Real, the story of Bob Davis, broadcaster, and we are honored to have Bob Davis on the front porch with us today visiting. We've talked about KU basketball because it's such a storied tradition.
Yep.
Let's shift gears and look at Kansas football. You had some high times there. There's certainly been some off times, but I guess talk about the ups and downs of Kansas football and being a broadcaster, because you still have to deliver the product on the air.
Yeah, you had to work at it, and you don't have any control over what happens on the field. But we've had most recently, the highlight certainly was the Orange Bowl win,
mm-hmm.
and we've had some moments, not a ton of them and not a long run of great success in football, but we did have great players to follow, and you know, it just wasn't quite the same as basketball, but it was still, it still had its moments, and there were some characters involved in football as well.
Stories that we're going to hear about coaches, maybe about players, about all involved.
Oh, sure. We'll touch on a lot of those people. We call those little splices friends of Bob, and we'll have read comments of some of the people and what we did and how we got along. And I look back on it and think, wow, that was really fun at the time. And it was. It was, you know, it was a great – television had not emerged as the medium that it is now, certainly. So radio broadcasts were the main way that you could follow – your team and radio networks and so on. And I think Kansas, although not a real populated state compared to some, it was still a great way to do it. And we had a lot of great broadcasters through KU. Merle Harmon was the original guy on the KU network, and he went on to great success in NFL and Major League Baseball. But it was fun. We had Hutchinson was on, and Hayes, and Kansas City and Wichita stations and all over the state. And it was one of the pioneer collegiate networks, I think, in the country.
Talking today with Bob Davis on the Front Porch. He's got a new book coming out called The Dream is Real, and anxious to. Is that available now or is it coming out soon?
It's available now on Amazon.
Very good.
You can call Amazon and order books, or it will be available fairly soon around the state. Many of the Dillon stores around in the state will have it. And then here in the Lawrence area, I think Rally House will also be featuring the book on sale. So it's getting out there. But right now, if you want to order one today, you can get online and call Amazon, and they'll say it'll be there in about 5 days.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Just in time for Christmas, by the way.
All about marketing.
Yeah, you got it. Tabletop book that would be perfect for any sports fan, not just Kansas Jayhawk fans, but truly sports fan. I'm a Wildcat fan here in Clay Center, Kansas, but I have had such respect for Bob Davis and the stories that I'm going to hear about the sports you've been involved in, including – the Kansas City Royals. Let's shift over there. We talked about you calling your first sportscast was a broadcast of a play-by-play of baseball in Hayes, Kansas. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in Kauffman Stadium. How does that happen for you in the 16 years that came from the Royals?
Well, I was in Kansas City. I worked several years as a sports director and so on at KNBZ, and they were the local affiliate for Royals baseball. And there was an opening at one time. At that moment, it was with TV. So I really started doing Royals baseball on television. But then we expanded, and we all shifted gears and did radio and TV. And Paul Splittorff was my partner most of the time, and we became very close during that period. And Fred White was one of the broadcasters, and Denny Matthews, who has been with the Royals since their birth back in the late 60s.
Right.
So it's kind of the right place at the right time deal, and it was a lot of fun. I was not part of the World Series teams, but did have several years in the press box at Kauffman Stadium following the Royals and getting to know some of the really great people in sports like Mike Sweeney and guys like that who played for the Royals.
Talk about Split a little bit. You talked about Paul Splittorff and becoming close with him, and, of course, we lost him just a few years back, and we all knew him as this unbelievable, calm presence on the mound. And he brought kind of that, I thought, to the broadcast booth and gave us such great insight that you guys were able to share.
Well, the thing that he did, he didn't want to just be an ex-player who was moving over to broadcast games and not really caring about the broadcast industry. Quite the contrary. He wanted to be a broadcaster and be recognized for doing that job, and he really worked at it. And we talked a lot about broadcasting and how we thought the game should be handled. And he had played college baseball and also college basketball at Morningside College in Iowa. So along with doing quite a bit of baseball, he also got into broadcasting Big 8 TV and enjoyed that, and I think was recognized as a really good basketball analyst as well as baseball.
The team or the family of broadcasters, particularly in the state of Kansas, but regionally and nationally as well, that you've been around, share some maybe a quip or two from someone that you've run into that has surprised you, become a good friend, or that you looked up to. Any of those that you could hit on across the nation or locally?
Well, I got to know a lot of people. You know, Deb Nelson, you mentioned K-State earlier. Deb did K-State games for many, many years. I had listened to him as a youngster in grade school in Manhattan. We had moved to Manhattan by that time. And he was just a great gentleman and worked at it. And I always looked up to Deb and people like that, Max, and other people around the state. Monty Moore did KU for a while, and a little later on, Gary Bender. And a lot of guys came through KU who were pretty good and later nationally recognized. So that was one of the real fun aspects of it, was being in the fraternity of sportscasters in this part of the country. And I never took that for granted. I always enjoyed it. We had a lot of guys come through here as broadcasters who went on to other things. Merle Harmon became a national figure. Tom Hedrick, of course, has done a lot of sports in the area and in the country. And it goes along with it. You're not the team and you're not the player, but you're pretty close to it.
Yeah, for sure. Kevin Harlan comes to mind very quickly, who's gone on
to
do such great things with the Chiefs and now beyond. And there is a great tradition of broadcasting in the state of Kansas. Bob, this may not be in the book because it's a radio question, but I know since I came into the business, the technology, well, in every business has changed drastically, but in radio, when we used to go set up for a ball game, there was a lot to it. Now, there's still quite a bit, but technology, how have you been able to keep up through the years with all that goes on and the changes that have taken place?
Well, satellite distribution of broadcasts was one of the big changes. You know, you used to distribute, if you had a network, you distribute it with telephone lines. Mm-hmm. But then satellite distribution, and Learfield was one of the pioneers in that area. So that made it explode a little more, and they were among the leaders in this part of the country, I think, in using satellites to distribute broadcasts. So we were kind of on the edge of that, and I watched it grow, and that's how everybody does it now.
Yeah,
the little birds in the sky.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Even setting up for when you were back in high school, I know that you had to have a phone line, you had to make sure the company got there and got it lit for you so you could get your broadcast out, and now we pull it out of our pocket and can pretty much do whatever we need to on our mobile devices. It's really a crazy how much the industry has changed. Bob Davis, our guest on the front porch, the new book is out. You can order it through Amazon. It's called The Dream is Real. Before I let you go, I'd like to do a little look at some of the coaches that you've been around. You mentioned them earlier for KU basketball, and maybe just a story that pops in your mind when I say Larry Brown.
Larry Brown was, I always thought of him as a basketball savant. You know, he could remember the inbounds play that he used against the Kentucky Colonels when he was coaching the Carolina team and the old ABA. He had a great memory. He's a basketball genius, and very much into that. But and so much fun to be around. But he was all basketball, and just a great coach and an interesting guy, a unique guy, but one that certainly did a lot for Kansas basketball. And then he gave way to some others. But Larry was I've said many times, a basketball savant. He thought you had the perfect inbounds play. Even if you were a wino, he'd go talk to you and figure out how to make use of that. But I have not seen Larry much recent years. They had a reunion here a couple of years ago, and he came back for that. But it was an experience working with him. He knew what was going on with all the players on the floor and everywhere else in the building. I used to tell Max he knows how much popcorn the guy up in Section G has had tonight during the game. He just had it all under control.
That's great. I'm going to jump sports and the great success in the Orange Bowl and a great run for KU football, Mark Mangino.
Mark Mangino, I don't know if he gets the credit he deserves, but he recruited a lot of good players and then developed them. And he had a little quarterback from the Austin area who turned out to be pretty good. And to win that Orange Bowl, that was a real heady stuff. KU had won some bowl games before, but to win a major bowl game like that, that marked a real accomplishment. Not a lot of KU football coaches have had that success, but Mangino did, and we still stay in contact. He's a good guy, and I think did a lot for the program, but he's not here anymore, and so we've moved on, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, he was a great coach, that's for sure. I'm going to go back to basketball. Roy Williams, when he came into KU, not a lot of people were real excited. I grew up a Dean Smith fan who's a Kansas Jayhawk himself, and I knew of Roy Williams, and he comes in, and there wasn't a lot of hoorah for Roy, but what sticks out about him?
Well, it was more Roy who, when they hired it. But he came in, he was well-schooled by Dean Smith, and he just took off almost immediately. Now, he did a little building, but he won pretty much from day young, and he did everything in Kansas but win a national championship, and he was very close. But he rightfully is a Hall of Basketball Hall of Famer and has continued his career with three national championships and other accomplishments at North Carolina. So give Roy a lot of credit. He followed Larry, which was not an easy thing to do, but he took it and ran with it. And, he's really one of the reasons KU basketball is what it is today.
And currently head coach and Hall of Famer, as you mentioned earlier, the former Oklahoma State Cowboy. A lot of people thought KU might lose Bill Self to his alma mater, but he stuck it out and still doing great things. What stands out about Bill Self to you?
He's so down to earth. You know, he is not pretentious at all. He's very comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He's got a great coaching background with Eddie Sutton, some of the other people he's worked for. And, he's a great package here at KU. And I hope he's here a long time. He won a national championship with the Mario Chalmers shot that put it into overtime. So Bill's accomplishments here will live for a long, long time. And it sounds like a cliche, but he is a regular guy. He's not blown away by who he is. He knows who he is, and he's very comfortable with that. He works hard. He demands that you work hard as well if you're one of his players or broadcasters or whatever. But he's a great fit here. He had been a graduate assistant at KU under Larry, so he knew what he was getting into having been here. And he treasures working in a building on Naismith Drive and coaching the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, he's had an unbelievable run that continues still today. Quickly, baseball, your work with the Kansas City Royals. You mentioned Mike Sweeney. What is it about Mike Sweeney that was so special?
One of the nicest people you could meet anywhere, as well as being a good player. A very religious, but very, very solid about it, and just a wonderful guy. And you think about great people you've met in sports. He's one of the first people that comes to my little brain. And, it was fun to be around him. And George Brett had quit playing by the time I started doing games. But to be around a guy who was, the greatest star of a franchise history, and he qualified in that area. And there were other players as well. But Mike Sweeney was a unique guy, and I'm glad he's still in some form working for the ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the broadcast booth, Denny Matthews, Fred White, that's who I grew up on in baseball.
Right.
That was my go-to to listen. And, thanks, Fred. Hi, everybody. I could hear it every night that they came on the air.
Right.
Talk about working with those guys and maybe something about those two.
Well, they were good. I'd known Fred before when he was at WIVW, but, of course, we were around each other a lot more with baseball. But, and Denny has been with the Royals since the very beginning, and I suspect we'll be with them until the very end. But, he was part of it, and he got to call some of the great plays in Royals history, certainly. And for a guy who grew up as a Cardinal fan, he's done okay.
True. The Dream is Real, the new book from Bob Davis. You mentioned Jeff Bowling earlier, who kind of persuaded you to, I think, really go into this venture.
Yeah, he twisted my arm.
I'm excited to read and to dig into it. It's available on Amazon.
Okay.
The Dream is Real. Look it up and check it out with Bob Davis. Bob, truly a legendary figure in broadcasting, and not just the state of Kansas, but really across the nation. Thanks so much for joining us here and visiting and sharing your stories. And I know the stories in the book will go above and beyond what we've had a chance to tip on today.
Well, Rocky, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for checking in.
You betcha. Bob Davis, our guest today on The Front Porch.
We continue our conversation on The Front Porch, and we visited with Bob Davis. This was from December of 2020. And again, this week we were at a sports seminar. Bob Davis's name came, but he was always so quick-witted. Really fun on the air. Obviously great broadcaster and great broadcast history, but he was also great when he was in person at the seminars and would speak to most students and professionals, and it was a ton of fun. Bob grew up in Topeka, Kansas, went to Topeka West, went on to Washburn University, and has lived in Lawrence for many years now after becoming a broadcaster. But it all started out in Hayes, as we talked about, at Fort Hays State University, broadcasting their games on KAYS, an AM station. That was from 1968 to 1984, and then became the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks with football and basketball. And he was at that position until 2016, and he's written a book. Obviously, that was a big part of why we were doing the interview with Bob, was to promote the book at the time. It was leading up to Christmas at that point in 2020 when we visited with Bob Davis. He's worked for NCAA CBS Radio, has done NCAA Women's Final Four basketball tournaments in 1990, 92, 94, also in 1997. Of course, we know the work that he did with the Jayhawks before coming in to work with the Kansas City Royals, where he was a part of that rotation. It was fun to hear him talk about working with the legendary pitcher and who became really a legendary broadcaster in Paul Splittorff before his life was taken by that dreadful disease. Part of the conversation we had was with Jeff Bolig that day. Jeff was a big help in getting the book by Bob Davis out. The book, by the way, if you missed the, I was talking about it earlier, it's The Dream is Real, My Life on the Airwaves by the former voice of the Jayhawks, Bob Davis. And he shares stories in the booth, out of the booth, in sports that he followed and covered, and a fascinating read if you're a sports fan in general, but particularly if you might be a Royals or especially a Jayhawks fan. Bob Davis, for so long, that legendary voice of the Jayhawks and of the Kansas City Royals. So the second part of the interview we did was with Jeff Bolig, and he talked about getting into working with Bob Davis and kind of some of the process on getting the book written and then available for readers and for sports fans. Again, The Dream is Real, My Life on the Airwaves, the name of the book from Bob Davis. Here comes now our conversation from Jeff Bolig.
Again, on The Front Porch, we just had an opportunity, the honor of having Bob Davis sit on The Front Porch, and now we invite in Jeff Bolig, who we mentioned during the interview with Bob. As Bob put it, Jeff, you helped twist his arm to go after this new book that is out called The Dream is Real. Is that true?
Well, Rocky, great to be with you and with your listeners. Yeah, I guess it's true. You know, I grew up in Hayes listening to Bob, and you know, I believe probably I've listened to every year of his broadcasting. The first few years may have been a little fuzzy, but Bob's meant so much to me as a sports fan. And so, you know, near the end of his retirement, you know, I suggested we do a book, and we kicked around some ideas, you know, great sports figures in Kansas. I love Kansas sports, all levels, and so we kind of kicked it around, but he just wasn't finished, and he didn't feel that he should do it when he's still working. He wanted to put a bow on the full career. And then, you know, then time just got away from us. He was busy with grandkids, and I got busy with my real job. And so finally, just before the pandemic hit, I said, Bob, let's do it. This is the time. And so there were some other people. I wasn't the only culprit in this, but I'm glad he listened to the others, and we got the project done.
Yeah, I'm excited to dig into it. As I told Bob, I'm a K-State Wildcat fan, but I'm a sports fan. And I tried to emphasize that, and people have heard Bob enough. They know that they're going to get some terrific stories inside the game and around the game and the history of what he has done in sports. It's amazing, I think.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple K-State stories in there as well. You know, Bob spent time in nearly every part of the state, and he has so many friends. And, of course, the afterword for the book is written by Wyatt Thompson, and Wyatt replaced Bob at Hayes, and they've remained great friends over time. And you know, that's the book is really not so much about Bob's life. Bob's life is kind of the platform to tell stories and to share his appreciation for all those people who helped him along the way and all the great people he met. So it's really a feel-good story. There's no exposés. There's no dirty laundry to be aired. It's really kind of a celebration of sports and the people Bob met and the people who helped him along the way.
And what I got from the conversation we had with Bob is that it's about all those things, and it's also about the good people in sports and in broadcasting. You mentioned Mike Sweeney and just how good a person he was, and he couldn't speak enough about him. And I get the feeling that most of the stories are going to be about people of that nature.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We took a format where Bob kind of told the story of broadcasting and his life and the people he met, but we also have about 50 different sports personalities and friends: Mitch Holtus, Wyatt Thompson, Kevin Harlan, Mike Sweeney, Tony Buser, Bill Self, you know, Larry Brown, the list goes on. And they just talk about their time with Bob or their time wherever they were at working and kind of share what was happening. And some of the fun stuff, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we didn't know of Bob. You know, Bob is a very public person, but he's not a braggart by any means. So, you know, you don't know some of those stories until you tell them. And it's really more just to kind of explain what was happening around the time. And, again, you know, we talk often in sports. I used to work at Kansas in the athletic department, the Big 8 Conference, so I'll date myself a little. But, you know, everybody talks about how fun it is to go to the games, and it is. But I will tell you the best thing about sports, and it's the relationships that you have with the coaches, the athletes, the schools, you know, people at other institutions. Those last forever. And the wins and losses kind of fade. You know, it seems sacrilegious to say that when you do keep score, but it's really the relationships. And I think that's what Bob brings out in the book.
Yeah, it sounds exactly what you're describing is what people are going to find in the book. It's available on Amazon. It's called The Dream is Real, the story of Bob Davis in broadcasting. As Bob put it, Jeff Bolig is our guest on the front porch. As Bob put it, you did the heavy lifting on on getting this book put together. Were there things that he hadn't remembered in some time that came to him as he was telling other stories? Did that happen quite a bit?
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, at some point, postage became so much we had to stop, right? So, so we kind of tried to determine what were some of the funny stories. You know, he spent so much time in Hayes, and he was such a part of the fabric of that community. And you know, being in radio, he sold spots. He sold. He did high school, both the Hayes High and Thomas More Prep. He did Fort Hayes. He did the small schools around. He did local tournaments. So Bob is really part of the community. You know, when he went to KU, it was more, I hate to say it's like a franchise, but he wasn't selling advertising. He wasn't doing high school sports. Mm-hmm. So the periods of time in the book are different. In Hayes, it's really about being part of the community and getting started in his career. And so those things came out. Funny little stories about selling $100 spots for a year to be part of the sports booster club and how the local trash hauler had a new slogan, and it's, you know, I probably can't say it on air, but it was funny. And so those kind of things that came out, just the interactions with the everyday people that show Bob's humor and tell the good stories. And so those all came out. And again, it was difficult. You know, we could have told, you know, there could be volume 1, 2, 3, and 4, but at some point, because we had to put a bow on it. And we just want to give people kind of a look at Bob's career from overtime, you know, why he quit law school to go be a broadcaster, right. You know, how he'd sit on the floor of his house growing up and listening to the Mutual game of the day, the radio. So, you know, he grew up in radio at a time when, you know, TV was just kind of getting started. So, you know, he was a radio guy. And so, anyway, a lot of good stories and things came out that I didn't know. And I think people will be interested to read.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We'll take pause in our conversation with the first Bob Davis about his book, The Dream is Real, My Life on the Airwaves, and then the guy that really helped get that book off and up and running and available. This, again, is a conversation we had in December of 2020, but as we've mentioned a couple of times, his name came up this week, and Bob Davis's name did, and it made me think of this conversation. And so sharing one from the past that still is very entertaining in my mind. Hope you're enjoying our conversation. More of that will be coming up on the Front Porch. We now continue with our conversation about Bob Davis. We're talking now with Jeff Bolig about the book Dream Comes True, My Life on the Airwaves, the story of Bob Davis as the legendary broadcaster. Here's more with Jeff Bolig.
Maybe it's just the whole person that he is and the relationships that he had that would be a favorite, but is there a portion of the book or a story that really stands out to you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I feel like I've almost lived a lot of it, to say the truth, because, you know, growing up listening to Bob and then being at KU and just being his friend, and that kind of helped us in crafting the book and how it would go. There are some very interesting stories about when the Fort Hays State, Bill Morse, won the first national championship NAIA title in 84. What I found interesting is the coach for Wisconsin, Stevens Point, was a guy by the name of Dick Bennett, who coached at Wisconsin. And Dick's son is obviously Tony Bennett, the coach at Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the morning before the game, well, the morning of the game, Dick Bennett and Bill Morse sat and had breakfast for 2 hours talking basketball strategy. And you wouldn't think that today, right?
Wow.
You wouldn't see Bill Self and John Calipari having breakfast for 2 hours game day talking about basketball strategy. So I thought that was interesting. I thought the fact that Bob, growing up, his dad was a newspaper reporter, actually sports editor in Independence for a while, and that was the whole Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri League, Class D rookie league baseball, and mm-hmm. Mickey Mantle played. And he was a 17-year-old shortstop for the Independence Yankees. And I thought Bob's early life, because I didn't know it as well, was interesting. I think people will get a kick of how Bob grappled with that decision to go to law school to please his dad or become a broadcaster and how hard it was. His first job in Hays after getting 50 rejections was a camera operator and disc jockey position. So he wasn't even the sports director or didn't even do any kind of play-by-play. So those are kind of the interesting stories, his early life. You know, the jokes. You know, he and Max together, there was so much hijinks between those two on the road. And then Paul Splitterf as well. I think a few relationships come out for Bob, but certainly the one with Max and then the one with Paul Splitterf, the former Royals pitcher who was his broadcast partner. Those are really special, and you can really tell how much those two people meant to him.
Yeah, that's great, great stuff. Jeff, before I let you go, I know it's available on Amazon. The Dream is Real is the name of it. Will it be available in some stores? Bob was thinking there were a couple of locations anyway that he thought it would be popping up in.
Yeah, you know, it will be in several Dillon stores, Hays, Salina, Hutchinson, Wichita, Andover, Derby, Topeka, and Lawrence. The Salina store right now is the one on Cloud Street. And there are probably going to be more orders and they'll spread out further. And then, you know, in the Kansas City and Wichita region, Rally House will have them as well. But I'm finding that people during this pandemic are very good at going to Amazon and ordering. So I know a lot of people have already ordered that way. But If you're going into the Salina area, certainly there, Hutch, in Wichita, there'll be plenty of Dillon's outlets as well. You can always go to the website, BobDavisTheDreamIsReal.com, and it'll have all the listings.
Perfect.
Of, you know, there. So yeah. you can see which Dillon stores are there. And, of course, Amazon link as well.
Yeah, and Amazon, likely you would have it in time for Christmas. I mean, what a gift it would be for any. And I said this to Bob, too, a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, K-State, KU, the rivalry, it's about sports and stories. And I think any sports fan would just love this thing.
I think so as well. And, you know, the interesting thing about the KU-K-State rivalry, you know, I was part of it. My uncle was the former radio engineer for Dev and Paul there. So I go back quite a way, and I even sat in the crow's nest for one game with them. So the one thing about Kansas State is, you know, the families are often divided. You'll have one son or daughter go to one school, the other. So there's that nice, friendly rivalry. It can't get heated, but it's not anything like, say, Kansas and Missouri. So there's a little more hatred there. So I think a Kansas State fan, and I have a lot of friends who are K-Staters, I think they would enjoy reading some of the history. You know, Bob spent some time in Manhattan. His first football game he saw had Gene Cady as the fullback, and of course, a former Purdue coach. And then he talks about going to games at Ahern Fieldhouse for 50 cents. You know, times have changed.
A little bit, yes, a little bit. He's seen a lot of that change over the years.
Yeah.
Jeff, appreciate your time and the work that you did with Bob to get this thing going. I'm very excited to dig into it. The Dream is Real, available on Amazon right now, so check it out. The story of Bob Davis, the broadcaster. Jeff, again, thanks for setting up the time we had with Bob on the front porch, and thanks for joining us as well.
Hey, Rocky, I appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Again, The Dream is Real. Check it out, the story of Bob Davis.
Again, this conversation was from about 4 years ago, and hopefully you've enjoyed the time with Bob Davis and Jeff Bolig about the book. Again, The Dream is Real, My Life on the Airwaves. Bob Davis was a 13-time Kansas Sportscaster of the Year, member of the KAB Hall of Fame, member at Fort Hays State University Hall of Fame, two-time winner Oscar Stouffer Award, Excellence in High School Sports, and the 01 Dick Vitale Sweet 16 list of Best College Basketball Broadcasters. Pretty cool chance to hear his story, and well-earned time off away from all those hours and years he's put in broadcasting and stepping away in 2016. That's going to wrap up our front porch today. Hope you've enjoyed a little look back. We'll join you again on the front porch.